If you have your Bible with you, you're welcome to open up to the book of Luke, chapter 5. As you heard from Dom, we are working through the Seven People, One Savior series. And I'm going to be picking up on Luke, chapter 5 this morning. We've had the privilege of looking at the Pharisee. We looked at the blind man. We've looked at the Samaritan woman. Today, we're going to be looking at the man with leprosy. And I'm super excited. So if you're in Luke chapter 5, we're going to be reading from verse 12. Just going to pick up on two verses for you, and then we'll unpack that together this morning. So Luke 5 verse 12 says, "While Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy." That's what the NIV says, covered with leprosy. The New Living Translation actually adds this. He had an advanced case of leprosy. "When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, 'Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean.' Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. 'I am willing,' he said, 'be clean.' And immediately the leprosy left him." It's an incredible encounter. It's a significant encounter. Actually, it kind of splits eternity. It is so weighty, this moment. But because we lose the context and we're not so familiar about why this was so important, you know, we can lose the weightiness of it. So what I want to do is I want to just spend a few moments in one sense bridging the weightiness between what is happening and, you know, kind of like Sunday to Monday with a couple context issues. The first one is the reason why this letter was written by Luke, the reason why he does this is he joins one of four guys, Matthew, Mark, Luke this morning, and John. If you've been around church circles a while, you'll know they're known as the four gospels. And the reason why they're known as the four gospels is basically what they want to do, and the purpose of their writing the gospels and these four letters to the churches was they wanted to take the Old Testament and they wanted to bridge it over to Jesus. They wanted to take the Old Testament, everything that was prophesied and written of and promised, all the shadows, and they wanted to say, here comes the fulfillment of all of that. And so they were creating this bridge between what was old and what had arrived on the scene, Jesus, the Messiah. And so some of the guys like Mark, for example, he goes after the royal element, the kingship of Jesus, which is why it begins with so-and-so begot so-and-so, and he shows the whole lineage. And then Jesus, he joins the dots between David and Jesus, and he shows us, he bridges how Jesus is also the King of Kings. He's part of this lineage. And what Luke does, the reason why Luke bridges, he's after something specific. He wants to show how Jesus is the Savior of the world. See, the Old Testament, if you were here when we went through the tabernacle, would have all this imagery of a lamb slain, a sacrifice on our behalf. And what Luke wants to show is that this is the Lamb of God who's come to take away the sin of the world. And that is the reason why he writes this letter to the churches. And it's also the reason why, if you look at those four gospels, some of them, they call them synoptic because you'll find the same stories in all of them. But some of them, because they're going after something specific, have specific stories to unpack specific things that they want their readers to see. And this account is not in all four of the Gospels, but is there specifically because Luke is wanting to show you and I about the fact that Jesus is the Savior. He's the one who forgives sins. And through the forgiveness of sins, he restores our relationship back with God. So that's the big context of the letter that Luke is writing. But now he comes across something called leprosy, which also needs a little bit of bridging this morning because I don't know how much reading you've done lately on leprosy. I've done a lot, but that was because I'm prepping. And I want to show you three things so that you can understand the weightiness of what he's actually after and why this was such a big moment in the history of Israel, actually, and in the timeline of eternity. The first thing is, with leprosy, is that it always starts small. So the reason why he goes after leprosy is because leprosy is often a picture of sin, okay? The Jews who would read this, they often had these parallels with sin. And the same thing about sin and leprosy is that it starts small. So what happens with leprosy is often the case on the sort of the extremities, the further away from your heart, a little spot would start. You'd get this tiny little blemish. It would be like a sunspot. I don't know if any of you had that. I was bitten by a spider a few months ago, and when the scab went, I was left with this little blemish. That's all it was. It was this tiny little spot. It would be on your hands, sometimes on your feet. But the scary thing about this thing is that it would lie dormant for 5, 10, 15, sometimes 20 years. So can you imagine, you know, one day back in the ancient Near East, busy brushing your teeth, and you see in the mirror there's something there, and you look. So you wonder what that is. Small.
But it's no less leprosy. It is no less a death sentence. There was no cure. There was no hope. The consequences were staggering. But it started small and it lay dormant. You know, the funny thing about sin is it does the same. You know, it's no big deal. But you find 5, 10, 15 years pass on and we just don't seem to get over that sin. You know, and then you're heading into your 40s and you suddenly realize, I'm struggling with the same things I struggled with when I was 18. What is this thing? Leprosy and sin both started small. The second thing that's important in the context of this story is it never stayed small. So somewhere along the line, this little thing, this little spot, started to spread. You know what's interesting? The American police force put a lot of funding into their traffic department. You know why they put so much into the? I mean, it's like seriously every stop street. They're doing the same now in Australia. You know the reason why they do that? It's not because they like that when it comes to traffic. But what they found is guys who are criminals, someone who's considering robbing a bank, who might have murder charges against him, don't give much thought to a stop street. But in order to catch someone who robs a bank, you've got this massive force and all these hours and investigation. But you can stand at that stop street, and it's highly likely that those guys who just don't care about the rules of the road, those small things, probably have had this thing spread to where they're on that side of the spectrum when it comes to being a criminal. And so often they will find someone and, you know, I mean, they've got all the technology and everything like that. And they would follow up and, you know, fingerprint, or, you know, scan the eyeball or whatever it is they do. And hang on a second, this guy is on our hit list. You know, he's in one of our top 10 criminals that we're looking for. And we just found him because he didn't stop at a red light. Crazy, huh? Because sin never stays small. And so what would happen is somewhere along the timeline, this man with leprosy might have been brying, you know, giving up on the bulls. He's not going back inside, and he's looked in this little thing, but now there's two. And so what does he do? He has to start covering up. And you don't want anyone to know you're that guy. What will your friends say? What will your home group say? What will your boss say? This thing comes out, and so they start covering up. And they go into denial. This is the biggest problem with leprosy, is they would go into denial. And then when, even today, they now have a cure, they now have medicine. But the problem is it takes so long for people to say, I have a problem, that by then it's sometimes too late. And so this leprosy would begin to spread and they would go into denial. And denial is a powerful emotion. A few years ago, I played my very last official soccer match. And it was my very last because I was taken out in a heavy tackle. And if you've ever played a sport and you take one of these, you're sort of like, whew, okay, I've got to like walk this thing off, you know. My foot was aching, but I just figured, okay, I've got to just dust myself off. I said to the coach, I'm ready to go back on. First ball that I got as a block to pass, I felt three bones push into the sole of my foot as three metatarsals snapped in half. Just like, whew. Because a fractured bone, you don't just walk off. You know, you don't just dust yourself off. I'm at it again. You know, send me on. You need surgery and you need plates and pins and crutches for months. But when sin begins to spread, we go into denial. It's like, you know, now I'm fine. I was like, bro, don't be so nosy about my marriage. We're okay. I've got an Afrikaans friend. And eventually I had to sit down and say, bro, I know what's going on. And you and I, we need to do business. Because as Afrikaners, we love to shield and put on a good front. It's human nature. And so they would go into denial. You know, you'd think I'd learn about denial when it comes to my foot, but remember the operation I had on my wrist? If you weren't here a few months ago, part sermon illustration, I just had to break an egg. And me and my little broke my wrist. I'm like, trying to, come on, you can do this. And I didn't realize that my wrist was broken. For about 10 months, I'd been on my mountain bike, and I just figured, you know, it needs a little bit of rest, a little bit of support. So I go to the doctor. He's like, what's the problem? I was like, no, I think overuse. Yeah, I don't know what's wrong. X-rays, My wrist is broken. He's like, bro, you need an operation. So he sends me to the operation, come out of it, you know, first checkup. And he says, you know, I sent a sample away because I was worried that you had early onset arthritis. I'm like, oh, that's not good news. He said, no, you don't. But I couldn't quite understand why. See, when he cut me open, it was like cutting a tomato. It just went like this. He said, there was so much inflammation, and that, you know, it's like, I've never seen this before. You know, so I really thought you had early onset arthritis. I didn't tell him. It was because I've been riding my bicycle for 10 months with a broken wrist, you know, but things were, help me, you know. Because that's the power of denial. And you know, when sin starts getting into your life, yeah, but you know, the price of DSTV, it's so much. It's not a big deal if I'm just pirating. And you know, music, I mean, seriously, I'm fine. It's not such a big deal. I mean, it's not like I've killed someone. Hey? Or, he's such a good listener. He really gets me. It was just a hug. We were just joking on WhatsApp. Denial. So leprosy and sin start small. And sin, just like leprosy, doesn't stay small. So the Bible says that sin is like a poison. Jesus says sin comes to rob, to steal, to kill, to destroy. It will have you. It might start as a little lion cub, but you keep feeding that thing and it grows. And eventually it's not just taking your T-bone steak, it's taking your arm. Because sin spreads. My wife loves to say the truth always comes out. So it starts small, it doesn't stay small, but then come the consequences. So somewhere along the line, this man who had leprosy got to the place where he couldn't hide it anymore. Worked at a rehab, and you know, they guys are cutting themselves or injecting themselves, and they're going through through summer with like jackets on, so you can't see the scars. But eventually, the truth always comes out. Somewhere along the line, he would have been faced with the fact that he has leprosy, and others would know. What would happen when you had leprosy was you get taken to the priest to diagnose the fact that you have. And there's this long specificity around the disease just so that they don't misdiagnose it. But on the diagnosis, when the priest says, you are unclean, his life was over. You know, that he wasn't even allowed to go back home again because it was contagious. So he'd never go home again. He'd never hug his wife again. He'd never be able to pick up his daughter and kiss her on her knee when she skinned her knee falling on the pavement again for his whole entire life. He was banished to the leper colony outside of the city, and if he ever came around anybody, he would have to carry a bell. Can you imagine the shame? And he'd have to ring this thing. Unclean! 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 Adulterer! Adulterer! Porn addict! Can you imagine the shame? But he wasn't the only one that had consequences of his sin, of his leprosy. His family would have consequences as well. See, because he was a man, and in that time, men led their homes, both in protection, in direction, and financing. And so he would leave his family defenseless. He would not be able to veto that boy who's got his eyes on his little girl. He would not be able to provide financially or protect his family. And you know what often happened in these cases when a man had leprosy and he was banished and could no longer provide for himself, let alone his family? What often happened is that his family would have to sell either the children or the wife would have to sell herself into slavery to be able to pay off the debts. See, sin will finish you. And then it goes after your finances. And then it goes after your family. And then it goes after your reputation. And then it goes after your future. It might start small, but it doesn't stay small. And the consequences, the Bible says, is death. So we got a friend who had one of those fairy tale stories, not quite Meghan Markle and Prince Harry, but pretty darn close. You know, she was from the other side of the tracks and started working, and one thing led to another, and she got married to like the big name of the company. And he was so wealthy, and you know, he was like world renowned. And so she went from the other side of the tracks, and nobody, suddenly being swept up in this world, living in an absolute mansion. I mean, literally, their next door neighbor owns a castle. You run down the road, and these guys have stables, and one of the guys has a runway where he lands his light aircraft. You know, it's like that level. And so because she has everything, and she has the 15,000-20,000 rand handbag, and has her pick of cars, and her kids are in the best of schools, her husband's looking on how to love her a little bit more, and finds out that she loves horses, so he buys her a horse. I mean, refuse. One thing leads to another, and she has an affair with the stable hand. Now, if his income bracket was here, the stable hand income bracket is like down at the blockhouse, you know. Start small. I can imagine, you know. A little bit of sweat while he's cleaning the horse. Maybe his name was Miguel. And then it got a little hot, so Miguel had to take off his shirts. It starts small. It doesn't stay small. One thing led to another, and they're having an affair. Now, you've got to know, a man with that much money has big hitting legal teams behind him. And because the truth always comes out, when it did, he left her with absolutely nothing. She literally left with the clothes on her back. Now, she spent 10, 15 years of her prime with him. Now, she's got to go and get a job. After being out of the marketplace for years, she's got to buy a car somehow. What about her kids? Clothing, a place to stay. I mean, she went living from a place where you go there and you don't even see them because they're on the other side of the home. Don't even hear her when they come and go down the driveway, in and out, to now having to move in with a stable hand because she had no other financial option. So going from there to there, palace to pauper, I can imagine it wasn't the best of environments at home with teenage kids of another man's marriage. But this guy had also been married before, had kids, and had also been divorced before. And to make things worse, because of the financial stickiness that they were in, instead of every second week the kids are with dad and then the kids are with mom, to make it easier because of the finances, every second week the ex-wife would move back into the house. That must have been fun. See, because sin doesn't stay small. Sin comes to rob, to kill, to steal, and to destroy. It will have you. It will leave you like a leper, walking with that bell, unclean, unclean. You know that you could smell them from about 100 meters away. Because what leprosy would do, it would destroy your nervous system. And because you couldn't feel anything, you'd pick up injuries and wounds, and the wounds would turn to infections. And because they couldn't afford doctors, that they were literally walking dead. They were dead to society, dead to their family. When they found out that they had leprosy, the family would assume the tradition of mourning because he was dead to them. The wages of sin is death. It might be a spot, but it is the same sentence. It might just be a little blemish, but it is the same disease. And so with this weight on this man, now, can you imagine? When Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along with an advanced case of leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." A man with leprosy. He doesn't give us a name. Didn't matter what he did. You can't outrank this disease. He could have had a big home. Or he could have been a stable hand. We don't know. He might have had ships trading on the Mediterranean Sea. Now, because of a spot, he'd lost everything. Could have had a loving wife. Beautiful. I'll do anything for you, children. My daughter, I was actually telling someone this morning, my daughter, when she heard, you know, winter rolls around, when she heard the dad wakes up before everyone else, lights a fire and has quiet time in front of the fire, she's like, "Dad, you got to wake me up early." I'm like, "My God, it's winter." "Yeah, but you got to wake me up early." I'm like, "My girl, you got to go to school." "Dad, you got to wake me up early. I want to sit by you." Hey, what if this man had a daughter who did that? And then there was a spot. Then there was a momentary indiscretion. One moment where you, what were you thinking? What would you do if you were that man, knowing what you know now, having lost what he had lost then? What would you do if you heard that there was this man, Jesus, who could heal you, who could cleanse you, who could allow the restoration of all that you had lost? It's not a good enough question. The question is, what have you done? Because you are that man. The Bible says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Amen. We are all lepers. It might be a spot. And you might be saying, "Ugh, you know, it's fine, it's no biggie. I said sorry, it'll be okay." But it's a disease. And this end is death. Or you might be here and it might be wreaking havoc in your marriage, but your wife doesn't know yet. In your finances, in your reputation at work. You might be that guy or that lady. It was, "Yeah, stay away from her." What have you done with what Jesus offers you? See, because this is what he says. He fell with his face to the ground and begged him, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." You know, I've been there. Jeff's been there. That entire worship team, at some stage in their life, got to this place where he said, "Lord, if you're willing, forgive me." Look at what Jesus says in verse 13. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. You know, that word can actually be translated, grabbed hold of the man. I can see Jesus taking that hand, wrapping himself around him. And what does he say? "I am willing. Be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. You see that? He didn't say, "I am willing. You just need to stop this, fix that. Don't ever do that again, and then you'll see slowly but surely the leprosy. But then if you do it again, you'll see the leprosy come. And then if you write, if you go to church, if you memorize scripture, if you pray and fast every day, if you go and work in the orphanages," no, no, no. He says, "I am willing. Be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. Can we pray? Before I go any further, so maybe right now you just need to say, "Lord, I hear you willing. Father, this morning, before I go any further, I feel like you're leaning in on us. Lord, we want a place before you everywhere where we are unclean. I know there's some here, it might just be a few spots. For some, it might be that this thing is spread and wreaking havoc in every area of our lives. But Lord, your word said, Jesus, your word said that you are willing. You are willing to the leper, and John writes him into, Luke writes him into this letter because we need to know that you are the Savior, that you are the healer, that you are the one who makes clean. And so, Father, this morning, we want to place before you our spots, our sin, our shame, our habits. Come and make us clean this morning, I pray. Thank you that you make us clean this morning, because you are Jesus. You are the Messiah. While Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along with an advanced case of leprosy. An advanced case. This wasn't, he didn't have hiccups. It wasn't a momentary indiscretion. His life was finished. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, "Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand, touched the man. "I'm willing," he said, "be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. Immediately. You know, if you came in this morning with an advanced case, immediately you are forgiven. Unconditionally. And that is why Luke writes it there. You're clean, like that. But I want to show you my favorite verse. It's the next one. It's a little weird. It takes a little bit of digging. But verse 14 says, "Then Jesus ordered him, 'Don't tell anyone,'" which is not what I'm saying today. He says, "Don't tell anyone, but," okay, there's a purpose to that instruction. He says, "But go show yourself to the priest, offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." You see, you might go home and you might say, "Well, hang on a second. He said, there's nothing I must do." But he said, this guy had to offer sacrifices. I mean, obviously, he's got to get his life together. No, no, no. He says, "Go and offer these sacrifices as a testimony to them." He says, "You go do this because there's certain people that need to hear what I've done today." And that certain people was a person by the name of Caiaphas. Caiaphas was the high priest, and Caiaphas needed to know that the Messiah was on the scene. If you got the amplified version, it ends on that very end of verse 14. It says, "As a testimony to them," bracket, "that this was the work of the Messiah." Yeah. You see, because what happens, if you're familiar with your Bible, you know that there was this guy named John the Baptist, John the Baptizer. He wasn't a Baptist, he was John the Baptizer. And John the Baptizer went ahead proclaiming that there is one who's coming, the Lamb who takes away the sin of the world. But the problem with anyone who's proclaiming the name of Jesus is things fall apart and people attacked you and all the rest of it. And he ended up in prison. And at the lowest of the lows, just like Letitia this morning, the lowest of the lows, he's like, sends his disciples. It's like, "Lord, are you the one? Are you the Messiah? Because otherwise, it's like, seriously, it sucks to be me." And what does Jesus say? You know what his answer is? He tells his disciples, "Go and tell them what you see. The blind receive their sight. The deaf hear. And the lepers are cleansed." Why does he say that? To validate the fact that he is the one. Because when we rewind right to the very beginning of our Exodus series that we did at the start of the year, Moses is saying the same thing to God. He's like, "Lord, they're not going to believe that you sent me. I mean, you're like a burning bush. I mean, I'm up against Pharaoh. How will they know?" And we're very familiar with the stick that gets turned into a snake and the water that turns to blood. But there's also a point where he says, "Okay, I think they might believe me." And then God says, "Put your hand in your robe." And when he takes it out, his hand is leprous. And he said, "Put your hand back under the robe." And when he brings it out, it is healed. And he said, "They will know that I have sent you to set them free, to redeem my people when they see that sign," because God and God alone can heal leprosy. And from that time to Jesus' time, no one else had been healed of leprosy who had been unclean. You see, in Leviticus 13 and 14, chapter 13 tells him how to identify leprosy. And then chapter 13 tells him, okay, it's a long one because you don't want to get this wrong, you know. Chapter 14 then says, this is what you do when a leper comes back having been cleaned. But there hadn't been one since it was written into the law. There was Moses with his hand, Miriam, but that was a sign, and Naaman, but Naaman wasn't a Jew, so he never went to the tabernacle to bring the sacrifice. So in other words, Leviticus chapter 14 was written for this guy, so that he could go and show Caiaphas, "I have been healed of leprosy." And Jesus would be known as the Messiah. And so Luke, looking at this account, thinks, this is gold. This is where we see Jesus coming onto the scene as the Messiah. And this is how he begins to link the Old Testament to who Jesus was to his listeners. And so what this guy would have to do, and this is the good part, is he would have to go and make sacrifices. It would start off where he would take two birds, the one that would sacrifice, and they'd take that blood and sprinkle it on the other bird, And they would set that other bird free because it was a picture of Jesus who would come and die on your behalf so that you can be set free as a bird. Okay? The bird didn't have to go to Bible college. It was just set free. And then came the sacrifice of a lamb. There was blood on the set free bird, and then there was this blood of the lamb that it was applied to the leper. Because Jesus alone, the Lamb of God, has come to take away the sin of the world. The Lamb of God cleanses us, whether it's a spot or whether it's spread. And this is the coolest part. So they would take that blood. It's very random, let me warn you. And they would take the blood and they would put it on his right earlobe, if he still had a right ear. His right thumb and his right big toe. Random, right? It is so random that it only happens in one other occasion in Scripture. And right there, when Caiaphas was doing that, he would have been stopped cold. You know what the one other occasion is? The high priest. When he gets appointed and anointed to enter into the Holy of Holies, the very presence of God, he would have his right earlobe anointed with blood, his right thumb and his right big toe. And right there he would realize, you might be the high priest, but I will let lepers, advanced case of sin and leprosy, into my presence. The same way I let you, Mr. High Priest, got it all together, perfect life. Hey? And so for you this morning, there's not some other gospel, some other sacrifice. You know, like if you're full-time in ministry, then you get the full package, you know, the premier package, extra view, you know, all of that, DSTV now on your iPad and on your iPhone because you got your life together. And these guys, well, you know, they get that little budget compact package, ETV and SABC One. Whether you're a leper, whether your life has fallen apart, or whether you lived under the glow of the favor of God, each and every one of us need the same blood applied, the same sacrifice, the same good news, and each and every one of us get access to the same presence of God. I'll read it one more time and then we'll close. While Jesus was in the towns, it's only Jesus. It's not good works. It's not have it together. It's not stopping smoking. While Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, may your week be filled with this. He fell with his face to the ground and begged him, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. You know, when we're in the equation, it's like, really, even me? Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I'm willing, he said, be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him.